This episode of Core is brought to you by you. That's right, people like you who have gone over to patreon.com/frogpants and decided to contribute. It goes to so much and costs so little. So if you're so inclined, head over there now, patreon.com/frogpants.
I don't know, guys. I don't think we have enough Protoss characters yet. This is Core.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Core, episode 46, the Heroes of the Storm podcast that you know and love. I'm Scott Johnson with Bo Schwartz and John Jagger, and I got a question, and I'm just throwing it right to Bo. Has this game hit fatigue, balance fatigue? Let's call it that. Have we hit balance fatigue? Have we gotten to a place where every week there's something so significant happening to the changes in both overall meta and your personal character picks that we're just tired and we need a break from all this balancing?
Oh my God, yes. A resounding yes. And I'll tell you guys, all right, rewind a year ago on the show and we were like, man, we need some updates. Some heroes are out of balance. Give us some changes. Yep. And fast forward to today. And, you know, we do this show every week. I assemble some notes every week. And it feels like constantly every week, you know, depending, like, I like all the notes. I like getting granular with it, but I don't want to do this every single week. And, you know, we had the Gamescom stuff, which I was very excited for, a lot of tease, and boom, yesterday, another balance update coming. Now, this isn't a surprise because they have a whole balance team. They said Wednesday was a balance team, and they do little tweaks differently than the major patch stuff, and that's sort of the landscape we have right now. But as it turns out, some of these little tweaks have an impact on the game, so keeping up with them seems important. And I play every day, and I notice when Kerrigan's powerful, and then all of a sudden Kerrigan, yeah, people have adapted, they're dodging it, and she's just not quite as powerful, and there's little tweaks happening. I looked at the patch notes today, and I went, no. I went, no. My brain was like, I don't want to process this information, Bo. You've put me through too much. That being said, I did come back to it a little later because we do have a show to do. But
are you going to ignore? But are you going to have kind of a, as far as your playstyle goes, are you just sort of going to ignore some of these latest changes and just let them wash over you and experience them firsthand? Or are you going to try to get all up in your head again before you get into some of your higher level matches?
Some of them are important. They baked in, just to give it, we'll talk maybe a little bit about it later, but they baked in the extra range on Hammer. So the basic attack range is now 20% wider. This could have a huge impact on, you know, the games I'm playing. If people start trying Hammer Cheese and if it turns out to be working, then I've got to readjust again in the middle of a ranked season. But that's a sort of a different issue. I think if you're playing competitively, there are changes. And a point of adaptation is a point where you can exploit it over weaker opponents who aren't as educated, maybe. Mm-hmm. But from a content creation perspective, I'm just a little bit like, I'm interested in the granular stuff, but at the same time, I think it's way too frequent. When we wanted more frequent, I was thinking maybe once a month and make it a significant patch at the most. That even seems like a lot, but they seem to just drop out of nowhere all the time. And my head's spinning a little bit, Scott, I'm not going to lie. And I love all the changes normally, but I'm a little fatigued.
It's a little much, yeah. I think I agree, John. I want to throw a similar question to you, but I will say this before I do. Is it bad? Is this a good sign for the long-term health of the game to see Blizzard chipping away at it and iterating so quickly? Is that, in other words, in the long view of this, is this better for the game long-term, or is this showing a problem? Is this showing that, I don't know, they're fumbling around and trying new things and being more experimental, the kind of stuff you do in alpha or beta stage, but they're doing it with a well-launched game now more than a year into its existence?
I think it's probably a good thing. I think we're probably in a good situation overall. I don't want to say that Bo's wrong, because all you need to look is as far as, you know, here on this show, when we talk about changes and you say, now is that in the game yet? Mm-hmm. And both Bo and I have to stop and say, well, wait a minute. Was that last update? Was that this update? Mm-hmm. When was that? And I think that's a good sign that there's a lot. Mm-hmm. But that being said, we've also experienced, hey, this is what it's like to really feel like we need an update and not have one come. If you remember, you know, what it was like in December of last year. And I much prefer this and this problem over what we experienced in December. Mm-hmm. So I won't say that it's not a problem, but I think it's a better problem to have.
Okay. Interesting. I think I kind of agree with that. I'd rather have us not sitting around still waiting for some crazy patch that's never going to come. There's already too many features in the game like that. We don't know what's ever going to happen to Arena. If it's going to finally be made into a weekly brawl type thing, fine, just freaking let us know. But at the same time, if we're going to get these other kinds of updates all the time, you know, maybe we don't care so much. It is a very different approach than other games. And you know, mind you, a game like Diablo 3, which is updated on the regular, doesn't need a bunch of balance patching because they don't care about balance in that game. You're just, in fact, half the part of the game is how do I break this so that my character's OP all the time? That's half the fun of the game. In fact, John, I think you were the one that was talking to me about that the other day. You had this theory about Diablo characters and what it means to have a new season and be OP every year or every couple months. But when they do that, it's like, okay, every season there's a new patch. And in that patch is a bunch of stuff. And you have this huge amount of time to think about it. In Heroes, you just plain don't. Like, some of this stuff is new to me today. Like, just hearing today that this stuff is coming. And in, this is all presumably what, tomorrow, Bo, we're supposed to get this stuff, these changes that we're going to talk about?
Yeah, it's dated for Wednesday, I believe.
Wednesday, August 24th. Part of it's exciting, but part of me is like, I'm still not used to that last thing you did. Like,
I think some of it, too, is that they touch different heroes with different updates as well, which makes sense from a workflow side on their part. They don't want to, they can't change everything all at once all of the time. Like, they have a probably dedicated team, they focus on targeted review and sort of move their target around based on whatever their agenda is. Mm-hmm. But from a player standpoint, maybe what we want to do is have them extend some of that balance time just a little bit. Mm-hmm. Or sync it up with the same week that new patches come. Like, it's very strange, and it's just a very strange feeling to feel like, again, I want them to do the things that they're doing. It's just already upon us again. And I'm like, I don't know what this all means. And maybe they're small enough that for the average player, it doesn't matter that much. And maybe this is just a unique problem for us because we look at it every week. Mm-hmm. But I feel like, I don't know. I just feel like stability is also important. So I kind of want to balance. And I think we were tipped too far one way, and now we're very far the other way. And maybe it's okay, and maybe I'm just having an off day, but I had that reaction. And I feel like of the three of us, I'm the least likely to have a reaction like that.
I think
I would agree with that. Yeah.
Maybe it would benefit from a little more focus or understanding on what gets patched when. Like, I am okay with emergency hot fixes. Oh, this character is broken. Oh, this character is OP. You know, something is happening in the game that is creating a not great environment. We need to address this right away. Let's patch that as soon as possible. That makes sense. But then you look at what gets changed and it's like, well, were we really at a critical point where we absolutely had to address removing some talents from Hammer and having to take care of that now? Or could that have maybe waited till another patch, especially when they say that this is in preparation of some reworks that are coming? Why did this particular change have to come before the reworks? Yeah. You know, if it's going to happen anyway, why not just wait? You know, we can go a couple more weeks without seeing a ton of Hammer if that's the problem. But you know, I'm not a big Hammer player. You know, maybe if you're a Hammer player, getting something little means a whole lot to you in this game. And it kind of sucks to have somebody say, well, that's trivial, but I don't know. It's tough. It's a tough thing to figure out. It's a tight rope to walk.
I feel like it is a tight rope to walk, isn't it? That's a phrase, isn't it?
It is now.
Yeah.
It's a tight rope because there's tight ropes. Yep. You're right. You're totally right.
It was too correct for your brain, Scott. You were like, it sounds weird.
I mean, On the one, oh yeah, there's a what is it?
There's
Death
a motorcycle race, driving through my apartment. Sorry,
Death Race 2000.
Sorry, audio listeners.
So we, what was I going to say?
There's a tightrope.
We all want a balanced game. I think we agree there. What that looks like is kind of just weird right now. Like, it's just weird seeing them go, oh, what about this? What about this? What about this? And doing it every week, it feels like, anyway. And doing it also surrounding other things. Like, Gamescom was enough information and enough of an impact, I think, that they could have gone 2-3 more weeks without any information about a new patch, and we wouldn't even thought twice about it. Like, it's enough stuff to digest. And like John says, if something's really sticking out as a sore thumb, well, you hotfix that stuff. You make it a last second tweak, because that's not how something should work or behave. Or, you know, I don't know, I almost called her Gimli. Chromie's got a problem with her range or something.
Gimli. I like it, though.
You'll have my axe. No, I was just thinking, like, if something like that broke, well, of course you're going to fix it. But this other stuff feels like maybe they could wait a little longer. So, I don't know. It's been on our minds. It's not that big a deal. And like you said, I think the general player base is like, whatever. This is great. It's an active game. They're supporting constantly. It probably looks really good to most everybody else. And I think it is good. It's just that either we got to stop paying attention so much, which I think is too much to ask for a portion of this game has a, or the portion of the player base of this game is very min-max minded. They're thinking all the time about what characters are doing what, and how is my roster? Am I expanding it? Am I losing somebody who's great? Am I adding somebody who's good? What did I learn about the pro matches I watched this weekend? How will that affect my play? Like, that stuff's part of the game, whether Blizzard wants that to be true or not. So for the casual players, it's just not as big a deal. So I don't know. We'll see. Time will tell. Tightrope to walk, all that and more. Get to our core topic this week. So I had this thought. Every year for the last 3 years, 2 years, whatever it's been. When did Vikings come out? 2014? 2015? 2014, right?
Yeah, because Cho'Gall was last year.
Yeah. So it was Vikings. So
the year before was Vikings.
It was Vikings, Jaina, and Thrall that year. Jaina and Thrall being normal. And then Vikings was like, whoa, no way, dude. And the whole crowd lost their minds. Last year it was Cho'Gall, and everyone flipped out when they realized what Cho'Gall was. I think it'd be fun to try to predict, since we're a couple months out now, what will be, assuming they follow suit like they have the last 2 years, what will be the Heroes team's weird-ass hero that they put into the game. And we got to think outside the box here, because in both those other two cases, it's super weird. Three characters in all three lanes running around looking like, you know, Swedish Vikings. Weird. Cho'Gall, two-man driven dude. One guy moves you, other guy does casting and stuff. Super weird. Nobody would have, like, guessed it was coming. So I want to know from you guys, do you have any ideas as to what might be the next weird, weird thing? John, you got any ideas?
Yeah, I'll give you my weird character right now. It's going to be Ragnaros. Okay. And what's going to make him weird is that you are going to basically pick Majordomo Executus as your character. And so you're going to be slithering around as Majordomo Executus.
Yeah.
And you're going to wander around the lanes. And then at level 10, you're going to get your ult, which is summon Ragnaros.
Okay. You don't become Ragnaros. You just summon him, right?
So here's the thing. You summon him. He comes out and kills you. you get put on death timers.
Okay.
And then you can control Ragnaros during that time. You cannot move because you're just a big Ragnaros body, but you get super buffed. You can do a lot of damage. And then when people kill you, you just return to the Molten Core. And if there's any time left on your death timer, then you have to wait it out. If that has expired, then you get to come right back out as Majordomo Executus again. At level 20, you get the ability to grow little Ragnaros legs and actually run around as Ragnaros.
All right. I think that's actually really well thought out. I'm shocked at how, I don't know what I expected from your rag idea, but that's actually not bad. Bo, do you have an idea of what you want?
I don't know. I like John's ideas a lot. They're always well thought out. I don't have good ones. The first thing that came to mind, we sprung this question, was a Chris Metzen Thrall skin. and when he senders, he yells storytelling, and all sorts of script pages fly geek out of the ground.
He'd be wearing like a leather 76 jacket.
He yells geek is. That's what he yells when he sunders.
Yeah. That's not bad.
So yeah, that kind of trumped every other idea I had. But I'm going to go back to my original. We had this idea a long time ago. I still want to see it. I just like a mass of Zerglings, please.
All right.
You know, three characters isn't enough to micro. Give me a ton to micro and let me try and get more and more Zerglings so I can micro more and more. They'd be body blocking pros.
Oh man.
I thought three Vikings were bad.
All right, three Vikings.
Just
three
give me
Zerglings.
A spawning pool and give me some Zerglings. Let me make Zerglings and go to town with Zerglings. The other thing I think would be kind of cool is something to do with pylons.
Yeah.
Maybe not a pylon as a hero, but but you know how there's Rexar, right? So yeah. Maybe you're a guy who puts pylons places, and he's also got a mothership pet that he can move around the map. But he's also a Protoss dude, because, like you said at the top of the show,
we don't have near enough
the Stinger. Protoss. We don't have enough Protoss characters.
We need more.
I don't know who it would be, but mechanically speaking, I like the idea of a command center or mothership in the game, and I like pylons.
Y'all need some power over here.
and think about,
you want to warp something in? Because I can. No, all right, I'm gonna just go hang out over here then. Yeah. I'm gonna go power this lamp.
But think about. Man, you're so chill. You're chilling me out, dude.
Yeah, chilling.
I feel relaxed now.
Yeah. Pylons are cool.
Yeah.
But like Zagara can spawn in little minions. Like there's a bunch of dudes in the game that can spawn little minions. So like why not spawn in Protoss units with pylons, something like that.
It's an idea. It's a cool idea. Like a pylon pops up top lane on dragon shrines or something, and boom, suddenly you're pouring out a bunch of warped in. I don't know. I'm trying to think of a cool ship or something, like carriers or something. And carriers have arrived is a great sounding thing in any video game. And have them just like storm the castle, and those little tiny ships come out, and you upgrade those with traits. I actually think your idea is not bad. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Thanks, Scott. So, Scott, you must have an idea burning in your.
Here's where my head's at, because I'm trying to think how weird they have to be. Both your ideas are pretty weird. But I actually think they're in some ways very practical. Like I could see both your ideas working pretty well and not being too crazy. I think whatever they do needs to be a little bit more kind of out there. And one of the ways to maybe do that is to have a presence on the map that is non-traditional, a lot like Abathur is.
Where Gabe Newell.
You have Gabe Newell walking around going, Dota 2 rules.
I got these knives.
The International made 20 million. We're never making Half-Life again. It'd be like that. I don't know if that's his voice, but we're still.
Sorry, that
it.
Was my bonus idea.
So my thinking is like, you know how Abathur just parks his ass and does weird shit. That's his thing. Why couldn't we see, everyone's like, how are we going to get dragons in the game? Well, maybe a way to get the dragon in the game is he doesn't have to be laning and running up and down lanes and engaging in team fights in a traditional way. Maybe that dragon, I don't know, sits in the Nexus, can't move from there, or perches on top of the enemy core, or even your own core, and just kind of sits there all perched up like a gargoyle and like does stuff from there. Or it's got to be something weird like that. I don't think they go down the route of, let's have another two-player style character. I mean, maybe they could, but I think Cho'Gall is about all they ever wanted to do with that. I could be wrong on that. But I want to see something where it's just completely non-MOBA, which is the whole point of these weird characters, right? They are uniquely positioned in the world of MOBAs to say, we're going to put in stuff you guys will never try, League and Dota. You guys are never going to have a two-man controlled dude. You are never going to allow a character that splits in three and runs micro threes the entire match the way they do with the Vikings. You're never going to have like an Abathur character. Like, we're weird over here, therefore we're going to do weird stuff. And it's got to be something crazy. Because your two things are good, and they could announce those as normal characters, I think. And then the big, one more thing moment would be, and it could be a Nyxia, and she sits on the core and then does some weird stuff from the core. I don't know.
I've got crazy. You want crazy?
Yeah, give me crazy.
I'm going to double down on crazy. It just occurred to me because Jocelyn Moffat's in the chat, and she's saying, the Innkeeper. And we know she's biased because she's on the Angry Chicken. And
of course.
She likes Hearthstone. But the Innkeeper is a suggestion made so many times. What if it's actually literally, instead of, you don't even have a character, you literally just have a Hearthstone set of hands that just pop up where your buttons are supposed to be. Like, you want crazy. It's just a Hearthstone deck. I don't know what you do with it, but I just like the idea of getting rid of the whole UI and just having your Hearthstone play deck.
Well, why couldn't you have QWE and have a deck or cards from a predetermined deck without any traits applied yet that just pop up in QWE? They're never the same. So you're not even a character. Or let's say you are the innkeeper and you're hanging out in the lane and you can't really do any hand to hand. But what's happening is Jocelyn's on the other team. Let's say, let's throw her under the bus completely with this. She's coming at me, as Jaina or something. And why couldn't I hit Q and have Q be some card from Hearthstone that everybody loves and have that have a certain effect when it hits her? In other words, Q does fires off. I can't think of a good card, but fires off some rad card. And then, next time Q is cooldown is done, it's a different card. Every time it's happened, and it's never the same any game. Now that may be hard to balance, and I don't know how that would work. But your
Hearthstone players love RNG. They're always talking about how much they like it. So I think this is a good idea.
Yeah,
it's their favorite.
Yeah, then there's your RNG right there. You have RNG built right into the game. Q, W, and E are never the same. Eventually you get R, D is some kind of, I don't know, exchange a card thing. Like that's your trade, is you can swap a card out randomly for another card in your deck. And then just play these cards in the lane and play some weird specialist thing. I don't know. I think it'd be cool.
This is kind of getting off the kind of craziness of it, because this is maybe bringing it back to a realistic point. Although I love that idea. Like, what if they made, and actually I see the I see the chat is already suggesting this. What if they made the innkeeper like the Shang Tsung of this game? And so the idea is that the innkeeper plays minions, and the minions are the other heroes in Heroes of the Storm. And then they don't get the ults, but the innkeeper ult allows them to pick from three different heroes to switch into.
Ooh, that's not bad. So kind of the way that Abathur has a clone in one of his builds, it'd be like that sort of, right? You'd control these characters. Would these characters be... But they would be unique to the innkeeper, though, right? Meaning they'd be unique to some set of character types, whether it be a beast or a humanoid or whatever. And they would have of the traits you'd have in Hearthstone, but it wouldn't be like other players in the game, right? Like, in other words, not going to have a deck
literally the other heroes. Okay. Like, I'm going to play Diablo right now. Okay, now I'm running around as Diablo. Oh. Okay, we need more damage, less tank. I pull up my cards. Okay, I'm going to switch to Greymane. Mm-hmm. And then you just switch to Greymane right then and there.
And your cards would determine who you have available as your backups, right? Like, who your next picks would be.
And that's you could maybe spend an ult charge to reshuffle them.
That's not bad.
You'd have to have some filler cards in there, too. Like, maybe you have to have enough. You have to have enough mana shards to switch out. You can't just switch out at will. You got to build up some mana. Maybe you have cards that like draw cards, and also you can drag and drop your fireball onto the battlefield to have it hit somewhere. Mm-hmm. But you could also do your right. We can incorporate all of this into one big
idea.
That's
a great idea. I love it.
Yeah,
and it would be a way to bring Hearthstone into this game outside of what it is currently, which is you just have a mount with a card back on it. Like, that's kind of lame. It's the one IP. Now that Overwatch has characters in this thing, it is now the most underutilized IP in Heroes of the Storm. So let's change that and get it in there. You know what? I say the Canadians for the win. Jocelyn Moffat, everybody. Take a bow. Congratulations. You win today's contest.
You did it.
All right. Let's talk about all the stuff that is coming this week. There's some things we didn't talk about last week, for example. Things that dropped from Gamescom. A lot of this stuff we've talked about. So we know there's a Vala rework coming. I saw Grubby do some of it. It looked good. Actually really excited to see her. Her auto attack is not nearly as powerful as it used to be, but she's got some other sort of bursty things happening. I'm just curious about it. I've been using her the same way for so long. It'll be fun to learn her in a new way. And actually, there's an example, Bo, of that's a character that has been untouched for so long. I have excitement about seeing what they do to her. If she was being changed every other week, I would not be. I'd be like, ugh.
No, she's so due for some kind of fresh coat of paint. Yeah. And she's a cool character. Mm-hmm. She kind of reads right now to me as I just bought this game. I'm playing this game partially because in my Hero League games, there are a lot of people who sort of lean on the Rainer and Valas, and they don't seem like the more esoteric picks to the ones you can get for very little gold. And they translate from other MOBAs the best in terms of auto attack. So I'm glad to see her get a fresh coat of paint and be awesome again. Cause I'd like to, I'd like to fall in love with her again. You know, we were together for a while and it was all great. And then you fall out of love and you're trying to rekindle that spark, you know?
Yeah. So, Bo doesn't like to be strapped down to one lady. I'm telling you right now, that's just not the way he rolls.
Well, strapped is fine.
Oh, you're okay with being strapped down by a lady. Got it.
Okay.
One other rework coming, Nazebo, Butcher previously discussed. We knew about that. The release schedule for Zarya is September 27th. You got about a month before you get her, a little bit more than a month. Let's see, September 13th, we got Alarak, Machines of War Bundle, Herald of N'Zoth, an Obsidian Cyber Wolf. 20th, you get Queen of Ghosts Kerrigan skin. On the 27th, Zarya stuff, Thunder Zarya, let's see, Raiders, or Rainer's, Rexxar's Raider skin, where he basically looks like a football player or whatever the crap they're doing with him. And Butcherlisk, the vagina costume, that one's coming. That'll be on October 4th. You'll not miss him. He'll be obvious.
I don't know if it looks like a vagina, Scott.
There's something about him. Listen,
maybe Scott's had some different experiences.
It looks lewd for sure. I mean, don't get me wrong. If I saw him in public, I think he'd get arrested for indecent exposure. But yeah. I don't think anybody would go, well, there goes a vagina.
I'll just say this: it is Asmodan's favorite skin. It must be.
Well, John, you know Scott, and Scott would. That's literally what he's doing. Yeah, he'd true. Literally see Butcher in the street and go, Kim, look over here.
Look, it's a vagina. There's a vagina walking down the street, honey.
Like, Carter, look at this.
Yeah, I kind of would.
Nick, you got to look at
this. I kind of would do that.
They're like, Dad,
yeah, stop please, calling it please, that. Please quit going out with us, they'd say. let's see, that's the 4th of October. Machines of War Bundle leaves October 18th, and they made a point of saying get it before it's gone on their PR thing. So do we have any other theories about what that means? Does that mean you're not going to get any of these skins outside of that period through that bundle? Because that's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, I think it's an aggressive invest in Machines of War thing. I think John had the theory that it was like, we talked about subscription. I think on an earlier episode, we suspected maybe it would be cool with Machines of War to be able to pre-buy everything that's coming down the pipe as sort of a test bed for subscription in a weird way, with a stim pack, of course. But and so that's why when they say it's leaving October 18th, I'm like, why wouldn't they keep it in for long? It's weird, you know, because all the...
Maybe something in there is an exclusive to it. Like, I wouldn't be surprised to find out that the Obsidian Cyberwolf is only available in the bundle. Like, looking at these things, that seems like a standout. And if they are going to discount it, which I don't know if they are or not, but I would imagine they would. That's the whole purpose of the bundle. It probably also means it's the only time to get that price.
And that stuff may be available separate in the future, like they often do.
Yeah. I have a PSA for everybody.
Okay.
And it may not happen, but remember, we are in September pretty much. And rhyme has nothing to do with anything I'm saying, but it threw me off and my concentration's broken.
It's a little weird, man. Sorry, keep going.
But in December, there was a 50% discount last year that ran for a few weeks. Oh, yeah. So do a bit of math and figure out if this is. And this is no guarantee that they're going to do it this year, but I was a little burned by it last year. So part of me is waiting on stuff that I feel like I can wait for the super sale available potentially again this year.
Isn't that when we got Lunara for like $5 was during that deal?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I remember that. That was good times.
It was.
That was a good price, turns out.
They already got money out of me today. I'm not even going to play today, and they got money out of
me. What'd you get? What'd you buy?
I bought the new Johanna skin.
Oh, of course you freaking did.
I had to.
She's too... Now she looks like one of those blood elves that drive me nuts.
Blood elves are the best, Scott. They're simply the best.
They're
better than all the rest.
they're not as pure as regular Johanna, right? That's why you love Johanna's. She's good.
You can see her hair. One of my big complaints has always been that they hide her cool hair on every skin. Also, people always make fun of me every time I say that her hair is cool, but I like it.
Her hair is super cool. Her hair is awesome. Totally rad. My daughter cut her hair like Johanna on purpose. That's how much she liked her hair.
It's rad hair, and they like the master skin covers it up, but this one, I will admit, it's still weird. She's not really wearing a helmet so much as a face thing.
Yeah, like a little, what do you call those things? Like in Eyes Wide Shut kind of mask. Were those...
I don't know. Maybe I'd go that far. What are those called? I don't know. Who knows?
Those have a name. They're called masquerade masks, right? Yeah. Where they walk around going, oh, hello, would you like to, you know, rub my nipples or whatever?
Put your keys in the bowl, please.
Yeah. I lost my train of thought. Okay, anyway, let's talk about the stuff that matters the most. So some of this is new to me, like this one. I missed this somehow. New mount speed, down from 140% to 130% of speed. That sucks. I don't want... Listen, one of the great things about this game is mounts and not having to run 400,000 miles to anywhere when you die or need to move somewhere quick. Why the speed change, Bo? What are they trying to do to me?
I don't know. I feel like when they made this change, they were making it for me because I was complaining about how easy it is to go from lane to lane and gank, and it creates less opportunity cost. So I personally like this tweak because now it's going to potentially, it may or may not, but it potentially may be more meaningful to switch back and forth from lanes. Think about all the people playing Zul right now, especially in the higher competitive games. But like Zul, the strategy on certain maps is literally for him as one person to soak two lanes. He can accomplish this partially by mounting effectively. So this sort of, you know, those kinds of strategies where someone's soaking more than one lane so the rest of the team can cheese death ball around makes it harder. So while I love mounting, I am hopeful that 10% still feels like not an inconvenience to get back to lane after a death or to move around, but that it does hamper some of this this leveraging of you know, lanes that have small distances between them.
Literally, this will put us at the speed that a World of Warcraft mount gives, an epic mount gives you in World of Warcraft. It gives you 30% faster than running speed. And this is 130%, which is, you know, 30% on top of 100. So we are going to be rolling around at that same differential, which is weird and kind of cool in a weird way. But I'm bummed out whenever they nerf speed. I like speed. Speed
so,
is good.
So it's not final. It was just on the Gamescom build and someone found it. It wasn't featured as a big conversation. So might not necessarily make it in the end.
What else? There's a free hero with Machines of War event. You'll be able to choose between three heroes. Might be Tyrande, Nubarak, and Thrall. If you have one of those three, you'll be able to choose from another three. And if you own every single hero, which John, maybe even Bo, fall into this category, right? Don't you guys own everything?
Well, it's if you own all of the six, sorry.
Oh, all of the six that are available. Yeah. Got it. Okay. Yeah. Then you get gold instead. They didn't say how much gold.
No, but it's probably, you know, 1 or 2,000, which is good.
I'll take 1 or 2,000 gold.
Yeah.
I'd like the equivalent of a new, like a Alarak. That'd be nice, but they won't give it.
John, you have all of them, right? You've got every single freaking hero, don't you?
Yeah, I got them all. Yeah. That was kind of my early big buy-in was just, you know, because once you hit that, then it's just a matter of maintaining it. Mm-hmm. And you can sometimes do it with gold. You can sometimes do it with money. You can always do it with money.
Yeah.
To me, I always wanted to have the freedom to pick from every hero.
These are some sweet, what's the word? Justifications I'm hearing from you. It's great. I like it.
Yeah.
Stick to those. Yeah. Stick to those.
But I got to tell myself every time I look at my bank account.
If Tyrande really is part of that first three, that's the only of the three I don't own. So I wouldn't mind getting her finally. So I'm not going to spend any money on her. I'll wait until this happens.
Nice.
The MVP system was teased, not coming with the Machines of War event though. So we know a little bit about the MVP system. Bo, do you want to explain more about it?
I don't think it's coming with, but I don't know for 100% sure.
We just don't know, right? They didn't say.
So it's basically, I think the equivalence would be an Overwatch, your reward cards. Mm. What are those things called? Cards you get?
Yeah.
I don't think anyone gets upvoted, though, or there's no voting. It didn't look like there was a voting thing. Mind you, all I saw was a screenshot. But it looks like someone in the game will be determined as an MVP, and they'll be like a most siege damage, most heroes, hero damage, most healing, like those kinds of things, similar to what you might see in Overwatch, sort of at the end of the game for this thing. So, looks cool. I think there may be rewards tied to it, like not rank points rewards, but potentially some XP. I'm thinking maybe gold. I know you do get extra XP in Overwatch, which essentially makes it faster for you to level up, so you end up getting a loot box that much faster. So not impossible, I think, for them to include golds as a reward, but we'll see.
I hope so.
And one,
yeah.
Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
One cool thing is that it looks like while it gives one person MVP, or if there is a voting system, one person is named MVP. Also, like Overwatch, it still recognizes multiple people. So it's not like everybody is vying for one position. You still might get recognized on that screen for some level of performance.
I'm really excited about this. I think this is a big motivator for me. It works in Overwatch for me. When you see that you had, you know, three or four gold medals, or you were top damage or healed the most people or whatever, there is something very motivating about that for me. Even if I don't get upvotes, the fact that the game is recognizing it is a big deal to me. And it's one of the things I felt like Heroes has been missing since day one, which is something better than just stats on a score screen. So if we can be called out for stuff we're doing well, whether there's upvotes or not, I don't care. That's actually important to me, especially because I hope this is on Blizzard to do this, but if they could make it possible to say, well, just because Greymane has such great burst and is constantly getting all these kills and therefore has the highest damage count for this map or for this game, what the game really knows is that my Jaina play contributed to most of his ability to zone people out and kill them or whatever. Like, I want some of that. Now, that's not even really happening in Overwatch as much as it should, although it's getting a little better. What's that one I just got yesterday? Showstopper. I hadn't seen that before in a play of the game in Overwatch where, or at least I don't remember seeing it. But anyway, it's where I stopped somebody. I think I stopped Pharah's ultimate while she was in the air, and it called it a showstopper at the bottom and gave me play of the game, even though there was a bunch of other things that could have potentially been play of the game. So it was calling out this very important moment, even though it wasn't a very flashy one. So I like that a lot. And if Heroes can figure out a way to do that, that's much more motivating to me than me looking at a list on a screen and going, well, I know why I'm not hopping that thing, because I can't be. That's not what this character's job is. But there's no stat saying how good I was at that job, you know? So I'm all for this. Bring it on, Blizzard. Yep. Let's see. What else? MVP player, or no, we talked about, you already talked about that. Okay. 2-week Alarak PTR. We don't know if it's one of the Machines of War maps are going to go along with that or not, but that's going to be a 2-week thing. You get to test him. They reworked Haunted Mines, currently being tested internally, so that may make a return. Hopefully that means that the Garden Terror will get taken out of that. go back and work on that for a while, guys. Let's see. Unclear on specifics, but rank points around demotion and promotion are currently being tuned positively for players, possibly even for Season 2. So some tweaks coming there, and for the one of us who is the most hardcore in Hero League, that's probably good news. Those things don't feel good when you don't.
I've lost so many points to promotion and demotion matches. It's ridiculous. At the one point, I had 999 rank points. So I had to win a game to get the 1 point required to get the promotion match. Ooh. I won the game, then got the promotion match, and then lose the game. And then that was 199-ish points from that win are evaporated. So what they're addressing, I think, is that they're no longer going to evaporate. Some concern about, if you win, for example, I think they'll carry over into your win. Or if you lose, it'll carry over. I won't lose 200 points. I might have just lost 1 point back down to where I was. Something along those lines. I'm not clear on the details. But basically, the amount of points I've donated to charity, qualifying for Diamond 5 6 times and qualifying for Diamond 2 5 times, because when you get demoted, it takes 3 consecutive wins, the shortest route to get back to the rank you were in. And it can take way longer based on all the points that get sucked in. It's like the way gold gets sucked out because of repair bills, except it's ranked. It's super frustrating. Losses are very punishing at the demotion mark. So I'm crying, but really I'm like the 1% here because I'm actually doing okay and whatever. But for a lot of people who are playing at bronze and getting stuck at bronze, they're probably experiencing the same things here in that they're not able to see any progression whatsoever. And with the seasons being as short as they are and the company being Blizzard, the company that likes to make you feel good about playing their games, this is a huge feel bad moment and source of frustration. So while some people might say, well, it's not true ranking, you need to be super awesome to get your rank, just be quiet. Let people feel good in their short seasons about ranking up.
Yeah.
I think whatever they're going to do, it's going to be positive. This, to me, made me the most happiest out of anything at a Gamescom because it was the biggest source of frustration for me over the past couple weeks.
It's funny, we're seeing the Overwatch team do similar things to competitive mode in that game, because there are a lot of feel bad moments in that, turns out. And they do seem to be on the path to make things feel good. And that's good, right, John? We like to feel good.
It is. It's a good thing. And yeah. I think that should be their goal for season changes is make it fun, make it enjoyable. I mean, I actually took a real long break from Overwatch because of what just doing placement matches in Overwatch did to me. It made me really not like that game for a while. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I kind of went the same way with Hero League in Heroes. I did my placements and then it kind of left such a bad taste in my mouth that I said, you know, I don't know if I'm going to try and rank up. I think I'm maybe going to be happy right where I'm at. So if they can do things to make it a more positive experience, I'm all for it.
Yeah, that's kind of right where my head is. Okay, there's some other stuff. Voice comms are being tested on Battle.net Launcher. They're going to get that working first and then work on having that function in the game client for Heroes. It's a long time coming, so I'm excited about that. Talking about how to address having too many maps, both for new players being overwhelmed, and to rotate maps for seasons. They don't want the active map pool to grow to the point that you don't see a map for days at a time. I would argue that's already sort of happening. Like, I'll play a lot over a certain couple of days and not see one instance of Sky Temple for whatever reason.
Garden of Terror 8 times.
Yeah, and I'm seeing guaranteed. Yes, every game I've played, every night I've played since forever has included a Garden of Terror night.
It's my most played map. Yeah. And I play it in a version of Heroes that didn't even have that map in the game, and it still has become my most played map.
Yeah, it's crazy. They cannot tell me they're not favoring that for some reason. There's something going on.
It was not by choice, I will promise you that.
Oh, yeah. John does not like the Garden of Terror or the Terror itself or anything to do with that.
It's my most winning map.
The only good thing about that map is the voiceover lady is the same lady that does the... what's her name? Alexstrasza? No. What's Arthas's
Syndragosa
fight that kept repeating the whole "We'll consume you" thing that she'd say over and over. It's the same lady. So there's something I like about that, but that's about as far as it goes with that map. Don't love it.
She's no Spider Queen.
Uh-oh. No. Who is though? Well, you are. You do a really good Spider Queen. Do you want to do the Spider Queen? Does that need to be more natural?
I mean, is that a personal question?
Yeah, do you want to?
Could be.
Do you want to? Hey, my advice, don't do anybody named the Spider Queen. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, if you meet somebody and their profile says the Spider Queen, maybe steer clear.
Yep.
Probably not what you're going to be into.
Probably. They say map vetoes won't likely be a thing because it will screw up with match quality and wait times, and I kind of get that, so I'm glad they're not doing that. Guilds and clans is an important one. Guilds and clans are at the top of the list in terms of social features they'd like to add. What do we want to see from guilds and clans, Bo?
We want to see our Frogpants community in something that they can belong to a little more intensely, I guess, you know, like in a more meaningful way. Mm-hmm. And just to make clean up communication, I know some of the issues with the chat room is that there's a limit to 100, for example. So if it does happen to overflow, chat has a hard time. You might end up in secondary chat and you're missing out on important messages. So we'd like to see a more robust chat system. Yep. And just little features that maybe there can be rosters in the guilds as well. So like, you know, I guess AIE has a couple, you have raid teams. Like you have substructures within your structure, and so a nice way to be able to organize teams that are competing maybe in your own private tournaments, which may eventually come later as an internal tournament organizer for that. We don't have to go to Challenge or I don't know, e-tournament dot whatever uninstall.gg.com for your brackets,
right?
So you know, I think this is a good start in order to get people organized in a community. This is pretty important because I'll tell you what, one of the first things I've done, but I did it a long time ago, was I killed general chat. I do not log into it. And I'm in every other general chat and every other game, but it is awful.
It's bad.
It's a hive of thieves. Or
they're playing their own game in there. It's not the same game we're playing. It's a different video game.
It's probably the most toxic place in all of Heroes, to be honest.
It's really
the
bad.
General chat.
Yep, it's real bad. And listen, if anyone's played MMOs for years, you already know about general chats and how they can be. Imagine that, but like times 20. I couldn't turn it off fast enough. It's real bad. Yeah. In fact, I don't know why it's even there. It's like trying to watch a Twitch chat of like a League of Legends playoff match. It's just a complete waste of your time.
And you know what else I'd like to see, just as part of the guilds and clans chat, is like some sort of group XP thing or something like that. Oh, some kind of system. Yeah. Some kind of system would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Get people. I don't know what exactly, but get people involved in a more community-oriented fashion. Some kind of achievement system. Mm-hmm. I don't really like achievements in Heroes, but I like them in relation to the guild. Mm. Maybe not achievements, but just, I don't know, something where like, make sure you play, your clan plays 25 team league games per week, weekly quests maybe. Mm-hmm. And that way everyone in your clan will earn gold as a result of your community participation. Ooh, nice. I like that idea. Nice.
I like that a lot.
That's pretty good. Real quick here, I meant to tell you guys about this because I wanted to see if I'm crazy or not, or basically just put it out to the listeners if they're interested in helping me. But last week I went on a hunt for a mobile MOBA game that, and I tweeted about it. Some of you may have saw that, but no one really got me good answers. But I was trying to find a MOBA game on mobile, iOS or Android, that preferably both, that have that's like Heroes more than it's like League or Dota. And I found a ton of things that are very like Vainglory, really cool game, very nicely made. It's a nice game. It's basically 3v3 League, though. Like, at the end of the day, I don't want stuff with item shops, and I don't want freaking single character leveling. I want to level as a team. I want some of the thinking in Heroes applied to a mobile MOBA that will scratch that itch when I'm not in front of my computer. So if anyone out there knows of something that is like a more simplified item buying system or something that's not so League heavy and more like what Heroes does, hit me up, yo. Scott Johnson on Twitter, and let me know. Okay? All right. What else? Guilds, clans. Oh, map editor, they say, is a cool idea. Sorry, Bo. They say it's a cool idea, but they're not working on it right away because it's a very, as they put it, very, very low priority. Does that make you sad a little bit inside?
Yeah, but I understand. They can't use the StarCraft editor, even though it's built in the StarCraft engine. They'd have to build their own proprietary thing for it. And I think probably I agree. It's just, you know, I'd like it to arrive before I die.
They sent they threw you a bone. They said you can, they'll probably let you make custom games with different rules and stuff as an interim step, which means two things. One, hey, here's a little bone for you. And two, maybe they'll get around to it eventually. Your dream can still come true.
I want to, that's okay. I have visions for maps in this game, and I'm not a big mod guy. I used to love level editing in like Wolfenstein 3D and stuff like that. Like, I have that DNA. Mm-hmm. Haven't done it for a very long time. But Heroes is a game I really, really want to do it for. I have a few map ideas, and I'd just love to express them. And I don't want to invest in learning the StarCraft engine because it's not. I know people can tool around with assets from Heroes in the StarCraft engine, but including there's that guy that did he did a McCree like hero design using the Gen Greymane model. Have you guys seen this?
No.
Yeah. I saw
in the
that.
Game where he literally made the abilities in the StarCraft II engine and did a video showing it. It's someone from, I don't know who it is. He's not from North America. He's like an Asian guy. I just don't know what country he's from, so I don't want to get it wrong.
Yeah.
But he made a whole McCree thing, and like, he's got High Noon in it. It's High Noon, except he says it in some other language, so it's oh yo sha sha, and then he does the thing. Not racist.
No.
I wish
fine.
I remembered it, but it's like, you know, he says it all funny, and the abilities in the game, and it looks super rad. I guess I'll have to share that out to you, but
sha. Yeah, send that over when you get a second.
I don't want to learn the StarCraft engine. It would be an entry point for me to use the Heroes editor and try and express my ideas in there. I'm excited for that.
So. Yeah, me as well.
Maybe in my 40s.
Bo, would you ever make John, would you ever make a map? Does that interest you to do that, or are you just too busy playing to want to make it?
I don't know if I'd ever want to make a map. I mean, to me, I got the answer I wanted with, hey, you can make custom games with maybe different rule sets. I'm kind of, you know, like Bo, I grew up in an era of PC gaming of map making, but also game mods. You know, I always, whenever we talk about Unreal Tournament, I immediately say low grav, instagib, you know, because mm-hmm. that's that's how I played that game.
Sure.
And so being able to just modify rules within it is kind of a quick, easy solution that I like. And I mean, we just recently, we did a 3v3 custom game, and that's some of the most fun I've had in Heroes in a long time. We were just cracking up, laughing and having fun and listening to you get upset about being Diablo. Oh, and
it was a bad comp, and we were doing it on freaking Haunted Minds, which was weird. The whole thing was weird. I enjoyed it though. I'm not gonna lie.
It was two Moraleses too, one on each team. Like, wasn't it?
We had two Medivhs at one point. Yeah. That was fun.
Yeah.
It was a ton of fun though. Like, as bad as some of the comps were and what we were asked to do was, I had a total blast doing it. I've never laughed so hard while playing Heroes. And so I think, you know, really expanding on what you can do with custom games makes for a fun way to spend time when you find out, oh, we have six people together instead of five. Like, rather than exclude someone, let's just go do something super fun.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that would be really cool. Hero pick swapping might be implemented for custom games or Team League. They say it's problematic in other draft modes because of trolling. How though? It's not clicking with me how you could troll in that environment.
That's what they said. So I don't know what that means, except, yeah, I don't know how you troll. Like, I mean, if you say someone says, oh, first pick Zagara, you can't play it, but I can. So first pick says, yeah, okay. And then they first pick Nova.
Oh,
that's like, that still happens now. Yeah. So like, I don't understand. Like, I guess that conversation doesn't happen, so it doesn't enable someone who's going to be a douche to be a douche. But at the same time, we do have a reporting system, so add a little line in there, say he's a draft troll, and report.
I got it. I got it.
All right.
Here's the scenario.
Okay.
So I have first pick. And we're back in the day where people really wanted Kael'thas's first pick, but I don't play him. So Bo says, John, I want to play Kael'thas. You pick Kael'thas. I'll swap you. I say, okay. So I pick Kael'thas. So now I say, all right, Bo, I want you to pick Sylvanas. And he's like, all right. And then it gets to his pick and he picks Lost Vikings and then swaps me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He says, oops, I don't own Sylvanas.
Yeah. Okay, now I'm starting to see it. I'm starting to see how you could use this for evil and not good.
I still would probably rather live in that world than a world where, like, first pick goes to something stupid because people didn't own the hero or didn't want to be in the first pick position. Or
sure.
I don't know. I think you kind of got to hope that people are going to be better. And if they're going to be that trolly to begin with, they're probably not going to help you anyway.
Good point.
Maybe it's more of a balance thing. I think the issue is right now that first pick is way too important. Like, in every meta that we've played in competitive, there's always been like the top two or three that need to be before bans just needed to be picked early, no matter what. And if you didn't, you tilted your team. And now it's, you know, they Zagara gets banned, Zul gets banned early, Kerrigan, although she's fallen off. Like, there's like only a few culprits. It's not like there's 10 must have heroes on every first pick, because then there's a chance more players will have it. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's a balance problem to solve more than solving with hero picking. Like, just the problem of there's always the two best heroes. Mm-hmm. Like, if there's 10 best heroes, there's a lot of options. If 10% of the pool, the roster is first pick material, that's healthier for a game that has quite literally right now like one or two. I think it's Zagara and Falstad, sometimes Zul depending on the map, and Sylvanas depending on the map. That's like between two and four heroes. So if someone doesn't first pick it, then there's a chance people get upset about it. And I think people think of hero swapping like, well, I play Zagara, so first pick it and give it to me so we can win. but maybe the problems that weigh the rewards there.
We also, looks like since we last spoke, people have found a Samuru Easter egg. I don't know how you say his freaking name, but he's one of the Tauren Chieftain bandmates. Another ETC guy. I don't know how I feel about that. It's a big freaking, I don't know, man. Listen, we always talk about, hey, can Blizzard put more characters into this game that aren't in games? I guess it's kind of what this is. But he's also in games. He's in Darkmoon Fair sometimes. You see him hanging out. He was in Warcraft 3 for a minute or something. So I guess he's sort of in the game. But how do we feel about another ETC bandmate coming into the game?
I don't like it.
I don't like it at all.
Is he a bandmate, though? I thought he was supposed to be like a legit character. Is he a bandmate?
I thought he was the lead singer for my... Do I have my history on this wrong? I thought he was the lead... Well, hold on. Let me look it up.
No, he's the lead singer of the metal band, the Torn Chieftains.
Oh, here it is. The Torn Chieftains teamed up with one of each of the main races of the Horde around the time of World of Warcraft Burning Crusade to form the metal band, the Torn Chieftains. They made their debut appearance at Darkmoon Fair in the lower city of Shattrath. He is the vocalist. He's holding the mic in the shot that I'm looking at.
Yeah.
He and his band may also appear in Black Rock Depths Barroom. There is no evidence for or against him being the same Samuru that helped Rexxar during the founding of Durotar.
So I think that's who they're referencing, though.
Oh.
Like, I think that's the character they're actually referencing. Like, I don't think this is going to be a bandmate. I don't think he's gonna come out and be singing. Like, I think this is the name for their Blade Master character.
And he is kind of a Blade Master, like roguey, kind of Illidan blade carrying dude looking man.
Yeah. So I think that's what we're getting. But yes, if presented with the option for another ETC member, my answer is definitely not, because I already don't like that ETC is a character.
Yeah.
Sorry, everybody. I play him too occasionally, but I still think it's kind of dumb.
Yeah.
Whoa, bro. What's with the bad vibes?
I don't know. It's just, you see him a lot, and the thing that I always think is, that's not a character. That's
just a cow with a guitar. Yeah,
embodied in the game.
Yeah, it's a
cow. I don't know if I like that he's also in the meta. Like, hey, the character that's an homage to our band is also one of the best tanks in this game.
Yeah.
I'm kind of ready for that era to end. But
it is a little weird from just from the lore perspective. We know we're being a little uptight about this, but I'm kind of with John on this. It's something that's always sort of annoyed me. It's fine. Get a real... I'm just saying, get Bane Bloodhoof in there. Get somebody in there.
Bane would be great.
Yeah, someone with a log, not a guitar. You know? Somebody with a big...
I agree to disagree with power core.
I need somebody with a big log that's like, it skins on it, look like a totem pole or whatever, and let's just beat some crap up with that. That's cool. Guitars.
But listen, the Samuro, the Blade Master, the big thing people keep talking about is Windwalk, because that's an invisibility trait. Like, he may be our third Nova 0 to a level invisibility dude. Like, I don't think it's perma-stealth, but I think it's going to be... Oh, crap, I'm getting killed. Why am I dying?
Well, who has that? Oh, freaking Tassadar.
Blademaster. Well, the Blade... No, Azeratul and Nova are stealthies, right?
Right,
so,
but
so
they get...
So the Blademaster would have, like, part of his original kit was that he could become invisible, and I believe if he attacked from invisibility, he got bonus damage.
Oh, so it could be one of those.
Yeah, so he's going to be another invisible guy up in your business.
I don't play Zeratul, but doesn't he do that now? Doesn't he come out of stealth for bigger damage for certain things?
Yep.
They all do, I guess.
Yeah, we didn't have enough of that. There's only one character that comes out of stealth for big damage. We might as well add a second
no,
one.
No, let's not. Let's not have two. I don't want that. I'd rather him be the singer, John. I've come around.
rather than face another stealth character.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think, like, to me, I just... Yeah, I hate Nova. I still hate
Nova.
Yeah,
you don't like Nova. Don't try to convince yourself that you've turned on her. You haven't... There has been no pivot.
But I play a rogue in World of Warcraft, Scott.
Yeah.
This is the dilemma.
Yeah.
Because I literally play the stealth character in another game, and I hate to be the one that's hating on the stealth characters in another game.
But listen, in World of Warcraft, I play a ranged... I play ranged DPS, like, period. It's all I want to do. Everything else I don't think is as fun. And in this game, I prefer tanks and healers. So I think this is just such a different animal. Implementation matters, you know?
That's true. And yeah. I almost always go tank, and I never tank in WoW. So there is some weirdness there.
Something with that. All right. Upcoming balance patch for August 24th. This is just some quick stuff. Gray main auto attack build nerfing it. That's getting nerfed somewhat. Ranged talents brought up a tiny bit. So get out your bottle of goo and chuck it. Gul'dan, the only good build nerfed. Some other talents brought up. Not much to see. We'll wait and see how that goes. Ariel, or as we like to call her, Oriel. Yeah, go ahead, Bo.
Just for the record, the good build was the corruption build. They've just made it harder to get the questing. You have to get the talented one and stack it up for the massive damage. Now they've tuned it up from 30 to 35, and I think it takes way more hits or whatever. So
do you think it's are we looking at this? Do we have the same Gul'dan in our computers that they have at the office? Like, I feel like they're it feels like it's a different Gul'dan. Everybody I know and play with says, ugh, he's terrible right now. And everyone at Blizzard's like, yeah, we're gonna nerf this guy. He's just out of control. It's like, what?
I'm so disappointed in Gul'dan. We had that conversation a few days ago of characters that, like, we just don't feel the fantasy at all met with our expectations of the character. And Gul'dan is still number one with a bullet for me. Like, he should be such a badass in the game, and he just feels like a wet noodle every time I see him.
Yeah, still not much of a threat. Oriole, whatever. Her Q build's been nerfed. Oh no, Dan.
Yeah, not me. None of us got to play when Dan was around.
Yeah, Dan had exclusive access to her for all of our games. But anyway, the Q build has been nerfed. Other talents tweaked. Basic attack is stronger, i.e. more hope gain is there to compensate for Q reduction in damage. Resurrection range increased slightly, which is something, because right now it is short range. Although I find it easier to pull off than I expected. I don't know. Going into that character, I thought, oh, I'm never going to get a res. I may as well just do that crystal blow thing. Sounds like drugs.
Yep. Crystal Aegis.
Yeah, Crystal Aegis. But instead, I can. When I've had to use it, it's been okay. I mean, maybe my teammates have been good, and that's why. But
I've been playing a ton of Oriole. She's broken right now. Mm-hmm. I've been winning. Like, I think my win rate in Hero League since I picked her up a few days ago is like something at 80% or 90% or something. Jeez. Like that.
What's broken?
It's ridiculous.
Is it this Q thing? Do you think, or something else?
Tons of healing, lots of damage. She's got a blind at level 14. She's hard to kill. And Crystal Aegis, when timed properly, counters everything, including a pyroblast on your Lunara.
Oh, wow.
Invalid. It's she's really, really strong. It's worth taking some time to get to play her. I've been really... I know I was kind of blasé. I think the week she came out, I was like, yeah, Oriole, she's cool. But I'm in love. She's super good.
See, hear that, ladies? Bo's moved on to someone else.
Sorry. Vala, you're going to have to brush up on... You have to brush your hair or something like that. Yeah.
You and Jaina. If you
need some new talent that impresses me. Until then, Oriole's talents are my jam.
You and Jaina can go commiserate over some ice cream and reruns of Gilmore Girls.
I don't want to make you mad. I know you love Jaina.
I love Jaina. So. I have a big thing for Jaina. I still do.
You already have a big enough on your hands with Terpster rivalry, because he loves Jaina too. I don't want to, we don't need a love rhombus.
What is a love rhombus?
It's like a love triangle, but it's a rhombus.
Oh, rhombus. Yeah, like the, okay, got it.
Yeah.
It took me a second. I'm like, what the hell's a rhombus? Oh, by the way, speaking of which, I love her in Heroes of the Storm. She is going to give me a headache in WoW right now. She is way too pissed, dude. Way freaking too pissed. Look, I know Theramore is a rough piece of business, and I know that stuff doesn't leave overnight, and we're still a little bit in mourning there, and you got your gray streak of hair and all that. But, geez, take it down a couple notches, Jaina. You're pissed. She's so pissed.
Yeah, I think it's that she's at like a 15, and she should, I mean, at least bring her down to a 10, where it's like, okay, I think... Honestly, I'm listening to Tides of War again as kind of the audiobook I'm listening to right now and hearing Happy Jaina right now, because things haven't gone bad just yet.
Yeah.
I'm just like, there's no way that she goes from this to how they're presenting her in the game. I don't care how bad your day is. Like, it's just really at an extreme point at this point.
Yeah. And you go click on her, like you'll click on her in that Khadgar quest. And I'm thinking, oh, there's Jaina. I should click her. So I go up to Jaina and I go, click. And she goes, Theramore will forever go down. It's the worst thing that ever happened. And Garrosh Hellscream's a dick. And I hate the Horde. What do you need? You know? Like, it's just, or even her auto responses are just over the top and through the roof. And I don't know. I feel bad about it.
It's a little much. And I don't want to make this all about WoW, but real quick while we're talking about it, I've said this. I think one of my biggest problems is that they are now also going that way with Greymane, but I feel like Greymane has a more legitimate claim to the feelings he's feeling than what Jaina does.
Yeah.
Because the people who hurt Greymane are not only still around, but they are now running the Horde, whereas the person who hurt Jaina is dead. Mm-hmm. In fact, all of the people who hurt Jaina are now pretty much dead. Yeah, so there's no, she can still be upset, but she is, maybe, she's definitely still like feeling it.
Mm-hmm. Maybe she falls to the dark side.
Oh, she's the new Lich King. She goes right to where her boyfriend went. She's got to go fight Bolvar for it, for the crown. Old Bolvar sitting there, shirtless Bolvar sitting on the frozen throne.
Or she's the new Gul'dan, because Gul'dan has to meet his end at some point in this storyline, right? He can't just go on forever.
He transfers his fell weirdness to her in his death or something?
It'll be Gul'Jaina.
Oh, Jane Dan.
Jane Dan.
Jean-Claude Jane Dan.
She's a character in the new Star Wars film.
Yeah, that's cool. That sounds like a Star Wars name. Probably has an apostrophe in it and everything. All right, so a couple other tiny items here. Hammers, we talked about the Maelstrom shells baked into hammer. Also, the increased basic attack range is 20%, which is, by the way, Bo's right, said at the top of the show, it's going to result in some cheese. It's just going to happen. I don't care what anyone says. Hammer's going to be your least favorite person soon, so watch for her. Tyrael, some overperforming talents nerfed slightly. Stitch's cooldown on Gorge reduced. And finally, you wrote, whatever, Cho'Gall.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to grok one without the other.
Right.
And it's all like, every time I go to read it, and this has nothing to do with fatigue. It's just every patch notes, I look at Cho and I look at Gaul and I go, eh.
I don't ever read their patch notes either. I'm so glad I'm not the only one that skips them. I'm always like, oh, what are they doing with Cho and Gaul? And then I start reading it and then it's just like, oh, you know what? I don't care.
Yeah, plus, look, this isn't us saying we don't like Cho or Gaul or them as a combination. They're fun. It's a good time once in a while to pull that dude out. But it's hard to take it seriously, right? Like, I can't look at it and go, the meta has now shifted in the favor of Gaul. No. No. It's just Cho'Gall.
I like how the meta conversation is, like, between a Cho and a Gaul player. We're like, the patch is better for me. You suck now, Cho. But we're on the same team.
It's better for me.
As long as you know I'm better and you're worse. You're playing.
Our patch notes were better. Now my
patch notes were better. He's such a freaking Gaul. So annoying.
Gaul's the best of the two.
He's pretty great.
Let's set up some beef here. Gaul's better than Cho.
I'm gonna say I agree. Yeah. One eye notwithstanding, and kind of a whiny attitude notwithstanding, I think he's pretty great.
Yeah. Honorable mention though, Cho'Gall and Oriole are a monster combo, by the way.
Yeah.
Monster with a capital M.
Really?
Monster.
Wow.
That's real sophist. The chat room reminded me, so shout out to you for reminding me. I had a Hero League game where I played and we stomped them.
Wow.
Because you can take a talent that allows you to gain hope from damage taken by your tank.
Yeah.
And Cho'Gall is a damage machine. He's constantly getting hit with everything. You constantly have full hope. Constantly. It's amazing.
That sounds OP. So, a little bit OP.
Try that in your games, friends.
All right. Hey, sorry to inform the most of you who love Nexeperty. There isn't one today. But next week, maybe. Also, an interview coming up next week. That'll be exciting. So stay tuned for that. But for now, emails! Our emails come to us at core@heroesforyou.com. You can also send us attachments there or leave voicemails at 801-471-0462. We got a quick email today from XPaulX. I think that's all that is, right? You wouldn't pronounce Zpauls, right?
I think he was Paul. He stopped being Paul, but now he stopping being Paul.
Are you sure it isn't the guy who used to be Paul ex-wife wrote in?
Because
it's ex-Paul's ex.
There's no plural.
Oh, you're right.
X isn't always pronounced X, though. It might be J-Paul-G.
Oh, J-Paul-G.
J-Paul-G.
J-Paul-G. That sounds like the German saying the palsy. Anyway. Here's your email. It says, XPaulX says this. Why do all the new... He is so right to the point here, by the way. This is the entirety of the email. Why do all the new healers have to be so weird? I just want mana and a way to heal people, not funky energy or whatever. Can you guys explain why Blizzard is doing this to us? XPaulX.
I want funky energy. I want that to be a resource in the game.
Hey, and we got some funky energy.
Oh, yeah.
Does that remind you of a song, Scott? Funky energy?
It might. What song would it be?
Something like
that. What was that?
I don't know. It's funky though, right?
Oh my gosh, I am gonna capture that later. That is amazing. Is it this one?
Ladies and gentlemen, you've got a preview for TMS for tomorrow.
It's not this, is it?
That's it, yeah.
Okay.
I was really off base.
I can't think of what that is. Was there a song? Have we played it before? What was it?
You've been playing it all the time on TMS.
Is it the Ken Burns thing?
That one. That was it.
Oh, it is this one.
Yeah.
Okay, but do that again. Do your version again.
No, I had the wrong song. I did.
Oh, you're talking about Sanford and Son. Yeah. No, Sanford and Son is different, and that is also great. Well done. All right. Wait.
I've got two things for TMS tomorrow. There
actually,
you go.
I can't find it. Where is it?
From San Francisco.
No, that's not it. All right. Never mind. Okay. So what do you guys think? I mean, he's clearly, he says all the new healers. We haven't had a healer since Morales, and she was like a bean healer. Like, she couldn't have been more pure healer.
She was literally mana and a way to heal people. That is 100% of her kit, minus the grenades, which are debatably useful.
Yeah, and you rarely use W. By the way, I see a rework for her coming for W, because it's just kind of dumb. It just sort of sits there, and it doesn't do enough for what it's... I think it should be more of a shield, like casting a shield that lasts a little time, like Tassadar style. But anyway... That's neither here nor there. But if you're saying all the new healers, I think you're just talking about the newest one who has weird energy. Outside of her, who else is there? They're all mana-based, aren't they? And sort of healery. I mean, if you don't count... Let's not count Tassadar and Tyrande, but like everybody else is just like, hey, here's some mana, and I will heal you.
I mean, it sounds like this person wants a priest. I've played a priest in Warcraft. Mm-hmm. And, well, I mean, depending on the patch, I suppose. I don't know what they're like now. But it was literally, I'd have a hot bar with 20 buttons, and I push them, and they all do healing things, but with different colors. It was like, here's a small heal. Here's a big heal. Here's a heal in a circle. Here's a heal that shoots around in a spiral. Here's a heal that has a string. It's a string heal. It's like string cheese, but it heals you. And then, oh, here's a healing sprinkle that sprinkles across all... Prayer of Mending, it's called. It sprinkles everywhere, makes a loud noise, and irritates your whole raid.
Yeah.
So it's like, maybe that hero will come one of these days where it will literally do no damage. Like, his auto attacks will heal the enemy or the friendly. Maybe that's the weird character we're getting at BlizzCon.
Yeah.
His Healy McHealy face.
Yep. Morales is pretty close. She doesn't, I mean, she, you know, her auto attacks do some freaking damage, not much to speak of, but she's just a healer.
She's got really one heal button, and that's Q. And maybe this guy wants all the two, both heroics, the trait, and all QWE to be heal options for the heal enthusiasts.
Doesn't sound that bad to have cooldowns on other heal abilities, though. That sounds okay. Maybe you still have an auto attack for just, you know, left click a dude and fire, or right. Left click? Yeah, right click. Sorry. A dude, and let it just fire at him. But the other, all three of your abilities are all healer based. I think it'd be okay. One's just got a long cooldown and it's like a group heal. One of them's a beam style, or, you know, a focus heal. And the third one is, I don't know, like a mana regen for your team or something. You know, like that's all fine. But I don't think them throwing in a weird one occasionally, like energy management hope lady, is a problem. I think it's good. Makes the game
especially because the general consensus was that healers wanted to do more than just be a heal bot. That was the feedback that they said they heard consistently, was that it feels like we're just being a heal bot.
Yeah.
And Kyle Ferguson from Into the Nexus, he's in the chat. One of my favorite things that he tells healers is, I know it's boring, but can you please just stick with us and heal? And I think that addresses, you know, kind of what one of the problems with healers is, hey, it's kind of boring. And even Dan said that he falls for that a lot, where he wanders off into a lane. We often wonder why Dan's just up in a lane, laning as the healer sometimes. It's because he gets bored.
Yeah.
So I think it's important that that they do have healers in the game. Maybe not all of them, but enough that people have other things to do than just sit there and press a heal button.
That's why I like Karazim so much. He's he's weird and does weird stuff. It's mana, but it's, you know.
By the way, Scott, I know you don't like mana. Auriel doesn't use her only ability that uses that hope is W. Everything else is free.
I know. It's great.
It's all free.
No, I feel like I don't have her rhythm down. Her skill cap's high and I need to spend more time with her, but I like how she, like, I think X-Pol X is smoking the crack. Like, mana's a pain. Or can be, especially with a, you know, mana-starved character, which, by the way, better be the first thing they fix about Vala. I just want to point that out. She eats way too much mana too quick. But X-Paul X is, I think, just upset over nothing. Like, you've got all your mana healers. Go play them then.
He's probably, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but reading this and reading into it, it to me, it sounds like maybe X-Paul X is a little disappointed in Oreo. And it's been so long since we got a healer. If you're primarily a support character and you don't like it, the new one, I can see why maybe you get a little concerned that, you know, oh, am I going to have to wait another 7 years before we get another good healer? So
take that bone from him, X-Paul X. It's the only one you're going to get from us tonight.
The sure dog is near you, John.
Oh, was that a dog? I didn't even hear it.
That was a dog. I tried to mute. One of them has a bottle and the other one's upset about it. I don't know. It's the world of a dog.
Weird. Dogs don't. They're weird the way dogs are. All right. Well, there you go. That's your email for this week. We'd love more. core@heroesforyou.com. And of course, voicemails, which I have a ton to go through. I need to just get through them and get them ready for shows. But 801-471-0462 is that number. That is going to do it for us, folks. No post-game stream today, or post-show game stream today. I have other stuff going on and have to, and so does John. Both have family crap, but I'll bet Bo's going to be in there, not streaming, but playing hardcore like he does, climbing his way to heaven.
I'll be honest. I've taken the day off yesterday. My age is starting to catch up with me. My hands are a little sore.
Do you feel on Monday? Do you feel rusty? Like now you've lost your
touch? I feel like I'm in the prime of my life, Scott. Mm. But my hands are not in the prime of their life, and yeah, so they're a little on the sore side.
Can you guys explain something for me? I forgot to mention this. This is Blizzard related, so it's still sort of part of the show. But I had even said to you guys, yeah, I don't think I'm going to do season 7 of Diablo this year or this season. I'm just not. I don't want to do the grind again. There's too many other games out. Blah blah blah. That was my thing, right? Something about playing other games made me long for Diablo loot. And so I ended up getting back in, but not doing a season 7 new character. I'm working on this mage that I've had since day one, and I love it. Like, I've gone up 3 torment levels in the last couple of days. I'm doing all kinds of crazy stuff. I don't think the rewards for season 7 are all that big a deal anyway. So, I mean, there's some sets and stuff, and that's fine. And then people are like, well, you just move all that over at the end of the season. Yeah, but we just do it every time, and then I don't do anything. Then I don't play. I move that stuff over, but I'm not actually doing anything with it, right? I don't immediately go, oh, the season 6 is over. Finally, let me now go to my other guy with all the things I got. I don't do that. So I'm just working on my main. His name is GURP. He's a freaking wizard. He's kind of a bastard. He's rolling around with Jondar, or whatever his name is. And they're constantly just going, did you see that creature over there? Or such riches, when it's only like 4,000 gold popping out of a thing. Like, it's great. And I'm having a great time in there. And I didn't expect this. I'm like totally weirded out. And I haven't really played with anybody else. It's all solo because they're all doing season 7 stuff. And I'm just like having a blast getting paragons, wow. You know.
Hate to throw a wrinkle, but if you want to get a max level season character, I have one, and I can power level you in about 30 minutes.
Shit. I probably should. You know what? Maybe I have one I started, but then... I don't know.
So,
I just don't want to...
So here's the deal. I believe this is still true, that drop rates are better in seasonal than they are in regular. So just make a copy of your character. A literal, like, call him GURP, give him the same look, and just go farm items.
That's maybe not a bad idea. 30 minutes,
oh,
you think?
Can't you... They added something where you can take a character you already have and restart them for the season. I don't remember what the perk to that is.
It scares the shit out of me. I hate that idea. Because I know it's not really harmful to the character, because at the end, if you're playing them the way you're supposed to, then you'll just be 70 again with all your cool stuff and your paragon and everything's good, right? That just feels weird. Like, it makes him feel artificial and ephemeral. He's GURP. He's the wizard. He's been around forever. Everyone knows him. Like, he has helped those guys find his dead wife I don't know how many times now. Right?
So, he's always there. Good old GURP. He's always there.
Yeah. So, and I've got the coolest set going right now, and it just feels good. And I got so much fire coming out of me. It's kind of gross. It's just great. So, anyway, whatever. We'll talk. We'll figure that out. Anyway, thank you all for joining us and listening to us. core@heroesforyou.com is the website. Please go there and... If you haven't already, all our links are there, everything that matters. And wherever you get your podcasts, leave us reviews. We love that. Alpha Geek Radio simulcasts the show for us as well. Join us in the game /join Frog Pants. It'd be real nice when that clan stuff gets in, because we're going to go crazy with that. So that will be upcoming. CourtHeroesForYou.com. Again, the voicemail number 801-471-0462. You can find us on Twitter. The show is at Core Heroes. John underscore Jagger, Bo Schwartz, and me, Scott Johnson. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Bo, for John, and for all of you. We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
I remember magazines.